Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, what we saw in the Garner case is not unprecedented in the world, but it's almost never heard of in the United States of America. And if we fall into the trap of believing that authority is always right, whether the authority is Eric Holder, Barack Obama, or the cop on the corner, we're in trouble. We are not a totalitarian society. And I support police for the last 20 years, 99.9% of the time. I've supported police through thick and through thin. But police are just human beings who put on a uniform. And as such, there can be good cops, average cops, bad cops, good cops, ordinary cops, and evil cops. This cop was not evil. I don't know him. But he made a mistake. And the mistake goes so far up the chain of command that this heartbreaking mistake by this cop gives the jackals and the Obama troika further justification for their crimes against humanity and their crimes against the police. And as I discuss the Eric Garner case and the choking case, the chokehold case, I want you to remember one thing. I want you to eliminate race. You see, the race hustlers like de Blasio, Sharpton, Holder, and Obama are making it about race. But it really has nothing to do with race. And your natural instincts are to side with those of your own kind. That's just human nature. It's the way it is. Doesn't matter who you are. And so if you're black, you tend to side with people who are black no matter what they're doing. And if you're white, you tend to side with people who are white no matter what they're doing. And I feel that that's the problem here. The biggest problem here are knee-jerk conservatives, not knee-jerk liberals. We have plenty of those and we know who they are. You can predict what they're going to say. But how knee-jerk conservatives can have such biases against the truth on the Garner story is beyond me. You know, there's a saying in my tradition, he who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. Well, you can reverse that and say, he who takes a single life, it is as though he has killed the entire world. And this insane decision by the grand jury in Staten Island yesterday, in light of what happened in Ferguson 2 weeks ago, is the worst thing that could have happened to this country in light of the evil troika that wants to nationalize the police force in this country. Yesterday I went on the air. If you missed it, and many of you did, most of you didn't catch the show, but those who did had one of the most electrifying experiences of their life. I would say that of the 20 years of radio that I've had, it was the most difficult show I've ever done and probably the most satisfying. And we had many police call who disagreed with me. We had martial artists call. This is the most interesting part of yesterday's show. And I saved that soundbite. We had a martial artist from Knoxville, Tennessee. Mandiah self-described himself as 6'4", 220 pounds. He said he trains officers of the law, special forces, in martial arts, in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And he said that hold put on that man's neck is something that he never teaches in martial arts. He said it's something that this cop learned by watching television. And he said, I'm surprised that cop didn't break his neck. Now, if you analyze what actually happened and the crime that had been committed, you'll have to conclude, as I did, that this was a case not only of excessive force, beyond any reasonable doubt this was excessive force. By any analysis, this was excessive force. But the fact of the matter is we should have put a criminal charge against this cop. Whether it's reckless manslaughter owing to the excessive use of deadly force on a person who was not threatening the police, by the way. Let me be very clear. Unlike the Ferguson case, where the man who was shot by Wilson had had an altercation with the cop, tried to grab his gun, was charging the cop. You know where I stood on that one. Tell me what this man, this bear of a man, this innocent Eric Garner, big deal. He was selling a cigarette in New York City. And for that, he died. They should have given him a summons and said, okay, come on, Eric. You know you can't do this. And give him a summons and move on. It's like jaywalking. But instead, they escalated it. And it gets worse. You see, many of you have an opinion, but you haven't actually watched the videotape. If you watch the videotape and you don't have a heartbreaking experience, I don't think you're a full human being. If you have no compassion for Eric Garner as he's begging for his life, as he's on the ground after the jackals took him to the ground, it looked to me like, I watch nature shows, it looked like jackals on an antelope. And I don't even like to watch nature shows. I don't like watching antelopes have their necks broken. They took down this big man for selling a cigarette. Oh, big deal. He wouldn't be cuffed. And that's an excuse to break his, to kill him? Say, well, they didn't kill him on purpose. No, I didn't call for homicide. I said reckless manslaughter. Now, what does that actually mean? Watch the tape. It's up on several sites. It's still up on my site, michaelsavage.com. Please watch the tape before telling me you saw the picture somewhere. Watch that little videotape. And then watch as the jackals take him to the ground. And he's on the ground now, posing no threat. They have a knee in his neck, a knee on his back. And he's saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. At which point, any sane cop would have released the pressure. But instead, one of the cowards then grinds his face into the pavement. I'm sorry to have to use these words. But, you know, I spare no rhetoric when I attack psychotic liberals, do I? So I'm the same man, whether it's going after a liberal who's trying to wreck America and destroy everything good about this country, or a cop who is either a rogue cop, a coward, or a psychotic, or let's say made a mistake. It doesn't matter to me. And here's the real bad part of it. This came 2 weeks after Ferguson. This is giving the vermin of America, like Al Sharpton, the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth, all the power they need now. And we didn't have to see this happen. You know, and I know the race hustlers were lying about Ferguson. You and I both know that Jackson and Obama and Sharpton and Holder are one and the same. And now the jackals have further a justification for their crimes against this society and their crimes against the police. So if you eliminate race and just watch the video, you will get sick. And before I play something for you, I'd like to give you my phone number, which is 855-400-7282. It's being said, by the way, that the guy had not only asthma, he had some kind of physical disability. I am also reading that he was mentally handicapped, slightly mentally handicapped. There's another part of it. He was crying and screaming for help because he couldn't breathe. Why did the cops continue the compression on his chest? And then as he died and was dying, the police did nothing to save his life. Instead, they accelerated his death. A cop will normally jump into a river to save a person. I'm sorry, these are not like every other cop you've ever met. Where was the supervisor in this squad, this gangster squad of brave men? Where was the supervisor? I mean, they weren't taking down a crack dealer, were they? Were they taking down a crack dealer or a heroin dealer? Were they busting in the doors of HHS and taking down the head of HHS for giving out $394 million in contracts to Baptist Children's Family Services for housing illegal alien children? No, that's the door that should have been broken down. But no, they were picking on a big, giant guy. I don't care whether he was black or pink. I don't care if he was green. I don't care what his color was. Just a big, giant of a man, probably living on public assistance. It would be, I guess, probably in public housing. Father of six, trying to make a few extra bucks selling cigarettes. Don't tell me you wouldn't do it if you were poor. Please don't stand on your high horse. You're probably collecting a fat pension somewhere living in Miami now. But the fact of the matter is, you're making a few extra dollars in the black market selling a couple of cigarettes. And that's a reason to say to him, okay, we're arresting you? He says, take your hands off me. He panicked. So what do you do with a panicked patient if you're a psychiatric nurse? And you're trying to help a patient. Do you try to constrain that patient? Well, maybe you talk to the patient. Maybe you back off for a minute and say, look, you broke the law. We have a job to do. I'm sorry. We have to take you in. You'll be in for 10 minutes. You'll be out. Please come with us. But they didn't do that. Right away, they went to maximum force. Right away, they jumped on him like a pack of jackals. They took him to the ground. And what happened then is what I am talking about. Not even what happened before then. Now, let me take it down home to you, as we used to say in the 60s. Let's take it on down home, man. You're home, and you have a knock on the door, and there's three policemen at your door who say you haven't paid your library fine. I'm talking about sometime in an imaginary future. And you say, well, how much is the fine? And they say, $25. You say, all right, well, look, I don't owe that. And they say, sorry, you're under arrest. Come with us. Get on the ground. You say, well, I'm not getting on the ground. What are you, crazy? And then they jump on you, and they constrain you, and they kill you. Is that what you want? You want to live in a society where the most minor offense suddenly is now met by the most maximum force? Is that the world you want to live in? I'm asking you a question. Is that the world you want to live in? Or your wife is driving, and you're not with her, or you're a woman alone and you're driving, and I've seen this too many times, by the way, and she's pulled over for, I don't know, some kind of traffic incident, and she gets neurotic and starts to yell. And the female cops get out of their car, and they constrain her and push her on the ground, and then they start to choke her out. Is that what you want? You want a society where that's permitted? I don't. I don't want to live in Lebanon. I don't want to live in that kind of world. And if you want to let the most minor of offenses escalate to this level, that's what you're going to have unless you understand what went on in this case. This is not an attack on police. You know, and I got it, I can't make this too personal. I have police friends who are emailing me telling me I'm wrong and telling me about cases where cops were killed by others. I know about those cases, and I intend to talk about some you never heard of today, such as the police captain in Los Angeles. I have the story somewhere. I have to find this one. I'm just have to dig this one up. I got it most recently from a gentleman who I know in the San Francisco Police Department, Kevin Quick. The Kevin Quick case is a very important case that you never heard about. Four people, in this case four blacks, got a reserve police captain, kidnapped him, took him to the ATM, took him out and shot him in order to move up in their gang. Guess what happened? They were charged with first-degree murder. The prosecutor wanted to give him the death penalty, but guess who moved in? Eric Holder. He sided with the cop killers. He said they're not going to get the death penalty. Eric Holder moved in and protected cop killers. So don't think I don't see the situation from the side point of view of cops. I don't know how a cop does his job. But I'm asking you, the listeners of this program, to try to understand where I am coming from. It's not cops right or wrong. It's not blacks right or wrong, as Al Sharpton would have it. To Al Sharpton, anyone who's black cannot commit a crime. To Mayor Lenin in New York, if you're brown or black, suddenly you're the best person on earth and everyone's against you. I never heard anything as insane as this crazy mayor in New York. If he had any thoughts in his stupid mind of running for the presidency, which I hear he's considering, they're over now for the idiotic speech he gave last night. Rambling on and on about his son had nothing to do with it. I couldn't believe this. So the fact of the matter is, this is not about an illegal chokehold at all. This is about excessive force and an overreaction by a group of cops, and somebody has to be punished. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIM. Where is your humanity? Where is your humanity? Cops normally save people's lives. They give a CPR to someone who's got a heart attack. I've seen them do it. I've seen them do it. They jump in a lake to save a kid who goes under the ice. They hear a man literally drowning. I mean, it's a drowning man dying in front of your ears. And what, none of them heard this? They were about, what, 2 inches from his mouth when he's saying, I can't breathe? Where were they? On the moon? Having a donut? Where were they? They were 2 inches from the man's mouth saying, I can't breathe. So at that point, you let go? He had no gun. He didn't lift his big fist at them. Did he? Now, this is not about race. I want to repeat that. Don't let the hustlers like Sharpton and Obama tell you that it's about brown and black versus whites. That's the worst thing you can be thinking. Don't let the hustlers like de Blasio and Holder lead you to believe that this is about race. It's nothing to do with race, because there's a black cop standing right next to him as the guy's dying, and he did nothing either. So it's not about race. It's about bad policemen, bad policing. They weren't taking down a crack dealer. Were they taking down a kingpin? Were they taking down someone from the Crips and Bloods? No, they weren't. Poor schmuck selling a cigarette. What the hell is wrong with you? Do you think that you have to support any group? How many times have I told you that you have to go through it again in Aristotelian logic? How many times have I said to you, is a politician just like other men? Yes. Are all men good? No. Are all men evil? No. All men are all men. They can be good, they can be evil, they can be ordinary. Yes. So therefore, any politician can be any of the above. Yes. Is a president just a politician? Yes. So therefore, a president can be good, he can be evil, he can be smart, he can be stupid. Yes. So I can use the same logic with anyone. Talk show hosts, myself included, cops. Why should they be above the law? That's what I'm asking you. And why should they be above our judgment? If a surgeon, a good surgeon, makes one mistake and cuts the wrong vessel, the wrong artery, the wrong vein, after a lifetime of doing it right, what happens to that surgeon? He may never practice surgery again. He could be held up on charges. Look what they did to Joan Rivers. Their careers are ruined, aren't they? You didn't say, come on, he was a good laryngologist, whatever. I don't even know what they call those. There were so many different people in the room taking selfies while she was being operated on. But those doctors' lives are ruined from the one mistake. I live and die by one mistake, don't I? One mistake and you'd crucify me, wouldn't you? Yeah, well, it's true with every profession. Anyone who walks on that tightrope, anyone who walks on the razor's edge, including cops, have to understand this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, you know my position. The cop made a mistake, or several of them did, and they killed him. And they used a hold on his neck that could have broken his neck, according to a martial artist whose tape I will play shortly. They also put their knee against the back of his head and the back of his chest, which I understand is illegal. Another martial artist friend of mine who teaches the subject in New York City said that putting the knee against the back of his head and against his back was a violation of policy. And I'll go a step further for you. If anyone in the U.S. military, let's say the U.S. Marines, did to Garner what was done to Garner, they'd be court-martialed. Do you know that? Let's say they were taking down an Al-Qaeda terrorist, and they treated an Al-Qaeda terrorist like that. They'd be arrested, probably thrown into a Fort Leavenworth for 10 years. Remember, I helped get a guy out of Fort Leavenworth. I raised money for him. Thank God he got out. It wasn't because of me, but because of you. So don't tell me I don't know what's right and wrong here, because he really didn't commit a crime. That officer in the Rangers was taking an Al-Qaeda murderer who was responsible for a roadside bomb that killed half of this guy's platoon, taking him back to his village after being released from custody as a result of George Bush's insane rules of engagement. And according to the Ranger, the Army Ranger, this Al-Qaeda member attacked him in his car and tried to grab his gun, and he shot him and killed him. For that, he was put away for 10 years. So believe me, I understand what's going on in this world. We're facing some of the most vicious murderers the world has seen since Hitler's time. And now we come all the way down here to America. And we have cops facing the most vicious street crime you've ever seen. You don't hear about it because it doesn't make it to the news. They have to deal with the scum of the earth on a daily basis. Let's put the whole thing in context. They're basically the garbage cleaners of human society. They have to deal with the scum of the earth on a daily basis, and they have to constrain themselves and still have the guts to get up every day and face them. I understand this. And I know how tough it is to do this without making a mistake. In this case, they made a mistake. And in light of what happened in Ferguson, the grand jury made a huge mistake. The grand jury made a bigger mistake than the cop did. You see, let me explain this to you. What is the job of a grand jury? Do you even understand that? It's not to determine whether someone is guilty or innocent. Did you know that? They're not running a trial. The grand jury does not determine whether there is guilt or innocence. The grand jury does not decide who is right and who is wrong. All the grand jury does is determine if there's enough evidence to bring charges against a defendant in any of the cases they are listening to. Okay. Well, was there enough evidence? Well, there was, because there's a use of excessive force. There was harmless behavior. Harmless behavior. Nothing. Jaywalking, selling a damn cigarette. Okay, so they use excessive force in taking the guy down, and he died. Let's not forget that. WABC Frank, you probably disagree with me because you're NYPD. Go ahead, please.
I'm not commenting on whether what happened in the street was correct or incorrect. I'm just commenting on why they were sent there. They were sent there because the former chief of department, Banks, who Bratton recently promoted, who was insulted by the promotion and quit, was attending a community meeting, and he got an earful about the illegal cigarette sales in front of the businesses there. He gave it to the commanding officer of that concerned precinct, who was told, you correct this condition, and those poor guys were sent there under direct orders. Now, what would they rather face? A guy with a gun in an alley or an angry commanding officer? I'm not saying what occurred there is correct or incorrect. I'm just saying.
I hear you're setting the context for why they were there. I didn't know why they were there. I couldn't understand why there were five or six cops for selling a cigarette, but now I understand it. It was de Blasio's lieutenant in the police department who did this?
The chief of department, Philip Banks, who attended a community meeting and got an earful from those store owners there about illegal cigarette sales. So he pressures the commanding officer of the local precinct, and he's looking to put another feather in his cap and benefit his career. So he grabs these poor guys and says, go out there, clean it up. You better not come back without productivity and numbers. And
I see. In other words, bring someone into the arrest. You need a collar, in other words.
You said it, and I don't want to comment any further than that.
All right. Well, I understand you were walking a thin line right there. You're walking on the razor's edge, and it's probably harder for you because you know these people. But you have certainly enlightened America just now with your statement. It's the context of why they were even there to begin with. It's that simple. But again, I want to reiterate a few things that I said. Given all of these pressures on the police, given their job is the most difficult job in the world, they still made a mistake. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. And it's not about whether the grand jury determines whether they're guilty or innocent. They don't determine whether they're right or wrong. All the grand jury does is determine if there's enough evidence to charge a defendant in a given case. And the fact of the matter is, I believe the evidence is overwhelming that excessive force was used. And I think you need to look at the videotape. The bottom line is he's dead. Dead. That's all. And where was the supervisor in this? Where was the supervisor? I think I saw her. She did nothing. She stood on while he was dying. The supervisor should have been held up on charges. But I'm not a big fan of the tattooed Pantoleo, whatever his name is. I don't think he's a big hero for putting that kind of hold on a guy's neck. As a friend of mine said from New York City, who teaches martial arts, and he's a good one, not one of the guys who just learned it yesterday in a Cracker Jack box. He's been doing it for 30 years. He said that chokehold, whatever hold he was using, I'm surprised he didn't break the guy's neck. That's what he said to me. He's an expert on the type of holds. And then we had a caller yesterday from Knoxville who teaches a form of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So you know what? Let's play a little bit of the caller from Knoxville on the use of that hold for a moment right now on the Savage Nation. Go ahead,
Knoxville,
Robert.
Knoxville, Tennessee. James,
Go ahead, please. You're back up on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for about 16 years, third-degree black belt, all that good stuff. And everything I've seen with that chokehold, that is not taught at any level. That is amateur at best. What he did, he's lucky he didn't break that poor guy's neck.
Bingo. That's what I thought he could have killed him just with the chokehold.
Yes, he absolutely did, because everything he did is not taught. I don't even teach some higher-level students a chokehold until I know they're ready. To see this guy go and do that, oh my goodness, manslaughter at the least. That was you can't say premeditated murder, but that's all, I mean, everything.
I think that the case is going to go as a manslaughter charge. But James, you are a martial artist. You teach chokeholds. Was this clearly a chokehold?
It was an attempt at one. It was one he's obviously seen on TV, probably watching UFC. What that was, honestly, Dr. Savage, from what I've seen in my years of doing it, he's lucky he didn't break that poor guy's neck and drop him on the spot. He made that poor guy suffer. And if this guy had been taught anything at any level, when you choke somebody out, you have a very short window to get that guy up, pretty much sitting up. You have to slap him on the back a few times. And if he's not brought back, you have to do CPR immediately. So for him to do something he's not authorized to do as a law enforcement officer, doing something totally illegal, absolutely, manslaughter should be the least of his worries.
This is an outrage. This is an outrage, and it only lets demagogues like de Blasio and Obama and Holder make it worse for America, because now they're going to justify their lies. Now we're going to hear lectures on racism and this and that. But I'm asking people to put aside the race, and I see this crazy cop committed manslaughter at the very least. Let's review the tape together, people. If you haven't seen it, you don't know what we're talking about. Once the man was on the ground and you hear him dying, he's saying, I can't breathe. You heard the voice, right? You heard him begging for his life?
Yes. I've watched the video several times.
I've watched it over and over again. Couldn't they have let the guy go at that point? He was subdued. He couldn't move at that point.
Dr. Savage, I've taught many police officers different things. I've never taught any police officer at any level, military, special forces, anything, to do that to anybody. There are arm grabs. There's different things. He could have grabbed his ear and put his face down. I mean, there's so many different things. For him to do that, that is criminal negligence at the least. I mean, manslaughter at the least. There's so many different things he could have done. And to have the other people standing around watching him and not doing anything, that made me sick as a...
Well, James, I'm so happy to hear from you, because you're an expert on these kinds of things, and I'm an amateur, just an amateur in the sense of looking in from the outside as a talk show, not as a fighter. And this has been a very rough day for me, because I watched it in July. It broke my heart then. I watched it today. It broke my heart again. And when I heard the grand jury announcement, I said, this is the craziest time this ever could have come down. Do you have any idea why they would come up with such a conclusion?
That escapes me. I mean, I'm all these verdicts and all this stuff, of all things, that's what you're going to say, no charges at all?
No, it makes no sense. See, now here's the real problem. Holder now has justification to swoop down with a federal investigation, which is ongoing, by the way, and have a federal indictment against this cop. And that's what worries me. And that was a caller from yesterday who I had to replay because I couldn't sleep last night. I had nightmares all night about Garner's voice begging for his life and no one helping him. That's the worst part of it. I mean, you see a man dying, do you help him? How do you keep choking a man at that point? I don't understand how anyone could not see what I'm saying. How do you keep choking a man and putting a knee into the back of his neck when he's begging for his life? Explain that to me. I don't understand it. And I know that police hate me for this. They're really angry at me because their job is difficult enough. They think that I'm now against them, but I'm not. It's that simple. This is a terrible thing because it's going to let the demagogues go on their high horses. You know, there's a rule. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. We have a First Amendment in America, which is fabulous. I live by it, and I die by it. But I know the limits of the First Amendment. And one of the first rules you learn as a speaker, a professional talker, is you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. There are limits. Al Sharpton never learned that lesson because he never went past fake divinity school. Where he got his divinity degree, no one knows, and that's where he got his knowledge of America, no one knows, because he has neither knowledge of divinity nor of America. The man is a race hustler of the lowest order, and now he's planning a march on Washington precisely because the grand jury empowered that piece of garbage. Do you understand that? And I warned you yesterday that this government is so draconian in its desire to centralize power along the lines of Joseph Stalin and his troika, who ran Russia with three men ran Russia. Three men. The Duma had no power whatsoever. Fundamentally, Obama, Holder, and Sharpton, I don't know who else is in the troika, are running this country. I should say ruining this country. Put an I after the word running, inside the word running. The troika has fundamentally neutralized all of Congress. It has no value whatsoever, which means we the people have lost because we have a despotic administration. And now they've just been empowered, haven't they, because of this grand jury decision. Do you understand where I'm coming from? So that's my position. I had the same position in July when I first saw the tape. And I got to tell you something else. There are family members of mine who are more conservative than I am, if you can believe it. They make me sound sometimes like a socialist, liberal. And they think the cops should have been indicted. How do you like that? I called one of them who didn't even hear the results. He was on an airplane yesterday. And he arrived and I said, did you hear what happened in New York? He said, no. I told him, he said, are you kidding me? They didn't indict him. You know why he said that to me? Because he has a heart and he has humanity. See, has a heart and humanity. You have to put your heart and humanity back and take race out of this. And you can't let the race hustlers ruining America make it an issue of race. It isn't about race at all. Because I got news for you. And you're going to hear it from the next caller about the supervisor. John on WABC, go ahead, please.
That's savage privilege. If you look at the video, at the beginning of the video, when they approach the man, and then they get into the whole situation of bringing him down onto the sidewalk, just as he's on the sidewalk, as you see the officer maneuver around to the front of him, the camera kind of pulls back, and there is a female black sergeant standing there in uniform. She's in the doorway of the store that the incident took place in. The other uniformed officers who were probably driving her did come forward and assist the officers with the gentleman on the ground. The sergeant just stood there. And this has been brought out in all of the news media in the city. They've been talking about it throughout the day as to why the sergeant didn't intervene. The other interesting thing is that of the officers that carry tasers, it's the sergeant's. And why it was that the taser...
So you could say then it's her negligence. Doesn't the buck stop there? Isn't she the leader? So she should be indicted.
Well, the superior officer on the scene, from what the video shows, was this sergeant. It was a female black...
All right, so she was black, so therefore it's not a racial issue, is it? It's bad policing.
Once again, you know, wasn't there. Don't want to comment any
further. Well, she should have stepped in and said, get off him, he's dying. She could have done that, couldn't she? She could have done it. Whether she should have or shouldn't have is irrelevant. She could have, though. Yes, and I thank you for enlightening this national audience as to the exact details, because as they say, the devil is in the details. This is Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
This is a national crisis. It is a national problem. A few of us in the civil rights leadership met with the president and the vice president on this on Monday. We cannot just go from episode to episode, city to city. There must be a national response. The federal government must come in and intervene on the issues of criminal justice and policing.
This is coming from one of the lowest men in the history of America, in my opinion. A man involved in egging on rioters and burning down Freddie's Fashion Mart. A man involved with Shawana Brawley in creating a fabrication against Lieutenant Pagonis, saying that they raped and smeared feces on a black lady. Turned out to be a complete fabrication. How a liar like this, a lowlife like this with a fake reverence degree, and I say that over and over again because I'm challenging anyone listening to this show to show me where he studied divinity, how this creep, who is a national disaster and a threat to our national security, can take such power like this is beyond me. Now, as we know, Obamacare is going to cure the world's best healthcare system in the world. As you know, it's going to make it far better. And I'm certain that once they nationalize the police and make them all answer to Al Sharpton, the Obama cops will be far, far better than you have ever seen. It will be a far, far better place that we go.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Many of you didn't hear what I had to say on the Eric Garner case yesterday, but many of you did. And Michael Savage's take on the Eric Garner case is the cop who choked him out, put his knee against his neck and his chest on the back, should have been indicted at least on negligent manslaughter. Now, I know many cops are unhappy with me because your job is difficult enough. I get it. I get it. And I know that the demagogue in the White House and his henchmen like Al Sharpton, the troika around him, are salivating. They're salivating. Their fangs could never be more glistening with liquid than they are after this stupid decision by the grand jury. The grand jury made a huge error. The grand jury made a huge error because they don't even know their own job. It's not to decide whether an individual charged is either guilty or innocent. It's not to decide whether the individual charged is right or wrong. But the grand jury has one charge, and that's to determine whether there is enough evidence to charge a defendant in the case. And there was enough evidence to charge him with, let's say, the charge. The charge was excessive force. This is clearly a case of excessive force. Now, the person who should have been charged was the officer seen with the tattoos, in my opinion, on his arms and legs, who went way overboard. Way overboard. He looks to me like whatever. I don't want to be psychiatrist here. But this is an example of a man using excessive force, if ever there was one. The other guilty party, and perhaps the most guilty party, is the sergeant seen standing around doing nothing, who made the crew go out and arrest Eric Garner. She should be indicted. So if old Eric Holder is out to look for who to find as a scapegoat, he ought to start with the black sergeant who stood in the doorway, the woman, who apparently was in charge of this crew and said, go out and arrest somebody. At least that's what a lot of people are saying. Now, many people are experts in holds and chokes and this and that, and many of you are saying, look, he didn't die from the chokehold. I got callers on that. I know that. I know he didn't die from the chokehold. I know that that was the coroner's finding. It was not from the chokehold per se. If it was your neck, you'd be dead. He would have broken your neck. Mr. Serpent Arms. The anaconda cop, the cop with the anaconda arms, would have broken your neck with that hold. But Garner was so large, it didn't even break his neck. Instead, they got him on the ground, and then they were jamming their knees into his back. That's compressing his lungs and compressing the nerves and muscles in the back of his neck, which, of course, could kill anybody. Didn't kill him. He was so large. And then to add insult to injury, as he's saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Who any human being hears that, unless you're a member of the Islamo-fascist brigades, what you do is you stop. So we want to now become like the Islamo-fascists who just take life? No, we don't want to let that happen. We can't let that happen. It's not about race. The most important thing that you might get from this show today, if you get anything, if you're really listening to what I'm saying, is that this is not about race. Of course Obama will make it about race because that's how he got where he is. Of course Holder will make it about race because that's where he got where he is. Of course Sharpton will make it about race because that's where he got where he is. But it's not about race, and it shouldn't be about race. It was never about race. It was about a mistake made by police for a petty, petty crime, no more serious than jaywalking. It's that simple. Now let's go to some of the callers because I made my points. You can make your points. There are many other news stories which I may or may not get to. I am pleased to say, by the way, that Rand Paul agrees with my position. It's not that he agrees with me. I never had him on the show. But listen to clip 21, Rand Paul, for a moment, would you please?
Some politician put a tax of $5.85 on a pack of cigarettes, so they've driven cigarettes underground by making them so expensive. But then some politician also had to direct the police to say, hey, we want you arresting people for selling a loose cigarette. And for someone to die over, you know, breaking that law, there really is no excuse for it. But I do blame the politicians. We put our police in a difficult situation with bad laws.
He's right about that, but he's still, again, evading the actual issue, which I am not evading because I am not running for office. See, that's the one difference between Michael Savage, or anyone in radio for that matter, and a politician, is they're running for office and they have to live with every word they say for when they go out and try to appeal to a mass number of individuals and get them to vote for them. We would like a mass number of individuals to listen to us, but I'm not a politician, so I don't have to constrain myself to the extent that he does. So he got it partly right, yeah, but he didn't get it all right, because what he should have answered was, okay, we get that, but what about Eric Garner, and what about the cop who put him in that, who killed him, basically? Okay? 855-407-2282 is my phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website where you can listen to the MP3 from yesterday on Savage's take on the Eric Garner case. It's now up on YouTube as well, and it should be on my website. If someone can email Art and get the YouTube piece up, I'd appreciate it, because the YouTube piece will spread more widely than an MP3, and I think that I need to be heard around the world. This is the this is a very, very important case for America, because it's going to open the door to these thugs in the Obama administration to further tighten the noose around police. When you see a lowlife, a man who has made his living by stirring up hatred his entire life, going in and out of the White House and now saying he's having a march on Washington to control the police, and the only answer is a federal control of the police, you know that the next step is the Gestapo. You know the next step is the brown shirts under Adolf Sharpton. John in North Carolina on the Internet, thanks for listening and thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, my pleasure. My name is Dr. John. I'm not the night tripper, but I'm a pulmonary disease specialist. I've had training in martial arts. I've been in the military. This poor man, as you've mentioned, obviously the chokehold didn't kill him, because you can't talk when you're in a chokehold. But this poor guy obviously had obstructed airways, terribly obese. This man has not been able to lie flat for many years. Talk to his family. He's always slept in his chair. When they laid him down and squashed him, he died. This poor obese man had a couple extra 100 pounds of body fat on him and a couple hundreds of policemen on him, and he's hollering, "I can't breathe." They should have just let him up.
Well, that was my position. In other words, my humanity is dictating my decision. I hear the man dying. I mean, doesn't his voice say, "I'm dying"? Isn't that what he's saying?
Of course.
And any human being who hears that, who's a decent person, tries to help the man, not kill him. So why didn't they stop, is my question, John.
Well, Dr. Savage, when a person is struggling like that on a ventilator, which I've seen this many times, when they struggle and fight back, they're looking for a doctor. They want help. This poor guy was being destroyed by lying flat and people on top of him. It's nothing more complicated.
You know, Dr. John, it's amazing you're a pulmonary specialist and a martial artist, etc. I mean, so you know it from both sides. But, you know, I watched that videotape over and over again, and do you know near the end when he dies, do you see his hand? His big, big hand is open in a gesture, not of a fist. He's not fighting back like a martial artist on the ground who's being stomped. He's got his hand open, begging. His hand is open, like you say, begging for someone to help him.
Looking for a doctor.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. Now, were you called on this case?
No, I wish I could be. But I'll tell you, Dr. Savage, talk to his family and see if he has done anything but sleep in a chair. This man has not laid flat for as long as he's been this weight. He has everything. He has obesity, hypertension, congestive heart failure, diabetes. This man is the classic obstructive sleep apnea case, and the police couldn't know that by looking at him. Obviously, I could see it, you know, instantly, but...
But they certainly could hear him begging for his life like a drowning man. Stay on the line. Dr. John, let's play the sound of his last moments on Earth. Let's just play him begging for his life.
I can't breathe.
All right, so why did they not stop at that point? Any human being would understand he's near death, right?
I would. God, I would like to think so.
Yeah, I like what you just said. I'd like to think so. Have we lost our humanity? Has it reached that point when no one knows when the other man is actually begging for his life? Have we become the equivalent of ISIS? Have we now become like the Muslim fanatics around the world who kill men, women, and children with impunity? Is that the society we become?
Most of us are good people, just like you and I.
But what happened here? I don't understand this. I don't quite understand how a group like this could behave like this. It seems to me one of them would have heard the man's cries and stopped the others. Wouldn't that make sense?
Shouldn't somebody have pulled somebody off and said, leave him alone?
Yes. Shouldn't someone have reached in instead? Wait a minute. Here's the coup de grace. As the animal lay dying and begging for his life, someone goes and grinds his face into the pavement. Did you see that?
Yes. It was all
the last coward who didn't have the guts to jump on him to begin with. Then the coward suddenly jumps in to show he was part of the collar and grinds his face into the pavement. Look, I'm sorry because everybody wants me to support the police every time, every way. I can't do it. I'm sorry. The grand jury made a mistake, and they're feeding the likes of this vermin, Al Sharpton, and that's the worst thing America could have ever had happen to it.
An EMT. Anyone with EMT training would have stood that man up, sat him up, stood him up, and let him breathe.
All right. We've made our point, John, but the question is, will anyone listen to us?
Lots of people are listening to us. We are right, and there's a lot of us.
Well, you know the part of this, there are many elements to this story that are very disturbing, and one of the worst elements of it is the knee-jerk conservative movement that is automatically knee-jerk taking the side of these cops, not all cops, these cops. How are they any different than knee-jerk liberals who support Obama, right or wrong? Tell me how they differ.
Not all police are Democrats. They're not all Republicans. And they're not all, certainly, most of them are very fine people. But there was something went fiercely wrong there.
Yep. All right, I thank you. Let me send you a gift copy of Stop the Coming Civil War because I pray this event doesn't start it. The phone number is 855-407-282. It's not about race. Do you agree with my opinion? And here's another question. And this is the most important question that I have heard today. I expected riots last night in New York, Oakland, San Francisco, and there were none. So this begs the question, why were there no riots in New York? Why were there no riots in Oakland? Why were there no riots in San Francisco? Who gave the stand-down order to the ready army of scum in this country, the ready army of anarchist scum who worked for the government, the ready army of the rent-a-mobs that will be in Washington with that creature? Tell me why they did not riot last night and loot. Who was it who told them not to do it? And so if you can answer that question as to why there was no rioting and looting and such and violence last night in any of the cities after this case, after this finding, you'll have to come to the conclusion that the riots in Ferguson were carefully planned and organized in the White House. That's my opinion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Now that the local investigation has concluded, I'm here to announce that the Justice Department will proceed with a federal civil rights investigation into Mr. Garner's death.
Good for you. Good for you. There was a saying in ancient Rome, who will watch the watchers? You ever hear that one? That didn't make it to the local TV station. That was at a time when Rome was collapsing and the government was totally corrupt and corrupted. And there was a saying that went around amongst the educated classes, who will watch the watchers? Who's going to watch Eric Holder? Who's going to investigate Eric Holder? That's the question. Who will watch the watchers? Sure, those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat their history, or take out the word there. Those who do not know history are condemned to repeat history. And we are repeating history. We have a demagogue in the White House surrounded by a Praetorian guard of pure evil. I have called him a troika, because if you study the origin of the word troika, it was related to Joseph Stalin, who ruled Russia, Soviet Union rather, with only three people. Three men ran the entire nation through secret police, through terror tactics. They took control of the entire nation and turned it into a prison camp. That's where we're going with Obama, Holder, and Sharpton. They're a troika. Now, we had an election 3 weeks ago where we threw them out. We had an election that was a mandate to throw these monsters out. And they're acting as though there was no election. And you know why they're able to do it? Because there is no opposition party. Boehner is the opposition party. Klink is the opposition party. Where's the soundbite for Klink, Robert? Remember the soundbite? If you don't have it, I understand it's not even a funny statement. But why is Boehner suddenly uniting with Reid and Pelosi to shaft conservatives and to stop the amnesty action for millions of illegal aliens? Why? Why is he doing that? It's because, you see, you don't understand something. I've been saying this for months now. The reason Obama wrote that amnesty law is because he knew that he had an agreement with Boehner and McConnell. They worked it out behind closed doors. They did a trade-off. They said, look, you want it, I want it. Screw the people. We'll do what we want. They're nothing anyway. They'll soon forget it. So I'll tell you what. You give me amnesty. You make believe. You mumble something or other about it. Blah, blah, blah. You make some window dressing for the idiots out there. And we'll give you the Keystone XL pipeline. What else? Throw something else in. You want an extra meatball on your sandwich? Let me know. I'll throw one in on it. Okay, and that's it. So they don't care. Boehner and McConnell are Better Business Bureau Republicans. They answer only to those who put them in power and keep them in power. It's only about money. It's only about contracts. That's all it is to them. There's no principle. There's no nation to them, in my opinion. There's no borders, language, and culture to McConnell and Boehner any more than there is to Obama and Holder. That's how I see it. But this is only one man's opinion. So many, many things are, emanating from the Garner case, all bad for America. But the pregnant question is, why were there no riots last night? Who constrained the rioters, or shall I say, who didn't give them the signal to go? Who gave those in Ferguson the go signal to burn the city to the ground? And who told them not to burn last night? Who kept them on a leash? I'll let you figure it out. Did anyone ask the question yet? Because I just did.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Devil is loose. Remember we had a show 3 weeks ago, Does the Devil Exist? Is there evil in the world? Remember your answer? Remember, I asked you, does the devil exist? Wow, what a show that was. I think the devil exists. He's everywhere. The devil is in the details. I mean, I can name, you know, why should I do it over and over again? You know what I think, you know where I see it. But it doesn't, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. Just because we know that the devils are running America, or shall I say ruining America, R-U-I-N-I-N-G rather than R-U-N-I-G. Isn't it interesting how one letter can change the whole word? Isn't language amazing? The power of the word? Isn't it amazing why illegal aliens have such a tough time learning English? What a complex language it is. English is one of the most complex of all languages, incidentally, which is why it has to be eliminated. I think that eventually the government should nationalize language in America and eliminate the English language as being racist unto itself because it's so difficult to learn. Conjugations, tenses, verbs, absolutely unnecessary. When you can grunt and point and make sign language and in a tribal manner, why would you need a language? Why should you have a language that's a language of the oppressor? It's time to reconsider and bring in the federal government on language classes in America and make it simpler for all of the people who can't speak or write English. It's quite simple to do. Reduce the vocabulary to that of an average rap singer to about 150 words. They do quite well on 150 words. Why do we need 15,000 words or more? I mean, my dog knows more than 150 words. I mean, maybe I have to bring him for a retraining. He knows more than 150 words in English, and he doesn't make $50 million a year. Go figure. It seems the less you know of the English language, the more you make. I don't know how that works. WABC Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, you're the man, Michael. I just want to say real quick, I'm a retired New York City sanitation man, and I worked with thousands of guys, Italian, Irish, Polish, everybody, all good guys, police, I knew police, firemen, everything. This is going back in the 70s. And I'm sorry, and my bird is making some noise. First of all, I want to say that no cops could do anything. Because I believe they got to make sure that back is always covered in wherever they go. They don't want to do anything. I think when internal affairs comes in, they'll feel more relaxed, and hopefully they'll do, hopefully, they're not corrupt themselves, but they'll get to the bottom of it. I do say with that guy, I knew guys that were short, some guys foremen on sanitation. Those are the worst guys. They would give complaints for everything. Because they were like trying to prove themselves. And
right, so you say the cop with the anaconda arms was a short man syndrome guy?
Yeah, I do believe that. And I think working in Staten Island is not a really, it's almost like working on a farm. You know, it's where the guys
go. Wait a minute. Why? Because the crime rate is so low?
You got it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, well, you know why the crime rate is traditionally low on Staten Island? You know the answer to that, don't you?
It's mostly white.
No, it's not that it's mostly white. You know who basically ruled it with an iron fist and kept the crime low?
Oh,
you know, do I have to spell it out? I mean, it's like Mulberry Street back in the 50s. No one would commit a crime in Staten Island. Get their heads broken open.
Right. Well, you go in Harlem and you're going to see crime. You go in Brownsville and
I remember when I was a kid, it was a well-known fact that if you left your Christmas presents in an open, unlocked car on Mulberry Street in Little Italy, you would come back and nobody would have robbed it because there were guys in the doorways who were watching their street. It was their neighborhood. They made sure that the average civilian who walked in there left in one piece. Crime was low in the streets. And you could bring your presents home. You know what I'm saying? There were no broken windows. That was then. This is now.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying by that analogy is that it's similar to why Staten Island was relatively crime-free for so long.
You know, they get bored with no action. If they want
I think that Castellano lived on Staten Island, if I'm not mistaken. The Spark Steakhouse job, I think he drove in from Staten Island. But that's irrelevant. So you're saying the crime is so low they were bored that they had to take on a man selling a cigarette?
I'm not saying that for sure, Michael. I mean, my sister is retired from NYPD. I just know some of the attitudes. Most of the cops are good. But I definitely believe the one in Ferguson.
See, but this is not anti-cop. I'm trying to distinguish between being anti-cop like Obama, Holder, and Sharpton, and being anti-wrong behavior as I am. In other words, you can't separate out whether he's a cop or a surgeon or a garbage man or a teacher. Now, 99% of teachers are good. But there's a small percentage of teachers who are bad. So what do you excuse the bad teacher because all teachers will be smeared by the same paintbrush?
Right.
No, that's my point. You know where I'm coming from, Dave. I know that. I can hear in your voice that you know what I'm saying. And I thank you for listening to the show on WABC. WABC Mike disagrees. He has a different opinion. Mike, go ahead, please. You're on the radio.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? First-time caller, short-term... I've just been listening to you for a couple of months, and I'm pretty addicted to tell you the truth. I'm in law enforcement in the Northeast. I really don't want to say where, for obvious reasons. But I disagree with you completely as far as the whole everything that you disagree with that the cops did there. In particular, I know you're saying that they overreacted. They shouldn't have. I don't want to misspeak. I'm sorry. But basically, you're saying they used too much force. Am I correct?
Yes, excessive force.
Well, excessive force is this. When we're initiating an arrest, regardless of who this person is, we obviously race doesn't play a factor at all. Not to me, not to the guys in my squad. I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they're from. I'm initiating an arrest. An arrest is an arrest. I don't care I do evaluate the situation and how much of a threat the person is based on his size. If he has a gi on, like he's a professional fighter or he's a professionally trained fighter, I will take that into account. Is he reaching for his waistband? There's various things. Mr. Garner was a very large man. It looks like three times larger than those two other, than the two cops who were initiating the arrest.
Oh, hold on. Let's have a conversation. But he was a nonviolent man, and here's the second part. They knew him. That squad of cops knew Garner. They had arrested him many times before for selling cigarettes. They knew he was nonviolent. They knew he didn't pose a physical threat. So in that sense, it undermines where you're coming from. I recognize that without men like you, the country would be a total jungle. Unless we have men like you who have the guts to take down the vermin of our society, we're all finished. So I understand that. But what I'm asking you to consider here is the level of force required when a man is begging for his life. In other words, given that you need to exert a lot of power to bring down a guy 300 pounds that size and he's down, why didn't they stop once he was on the ground and was no longer posing any threat whatsoever? Why could they not back off at that point?
Okay. My opinion on that, my professional opinion, my expertise on this, I've been in law enforcement almost 17 years. From what I saw, he said, no, I'm not going in. You're not locking me up. They reached for his hand. He pulled his hand away and slapped away the cop's hand. That right, he's obviously resisting. Now, once you're resisting, now we are trained to use force to negate your force. And being that he's a large man, I've personally been trained to use whatever means is necessary to take this person down.
Yes. All right, let's pause again at that juncture. I heard you. I respect what you said as a professional who has to do these things. But I again will ask you then, at what point do you decide how much force to use? Again, he had no guns, no knives. He did not clench a fist. He was not fighting with the officers. He was merely not wanting to be handcuffed. He was panicking at that point. I had a caller yesterday. You probably didn't hear it. He said, when we see a man this size, we cannot get cuffs on him at all because his wrists are too big. That's how big he was. And what we do in those cases, we bring what's called leg irons to lock his hands on because they're much bigger, obviously. The squad, knowing they were going to take down Garner, could have brought the leg irons, couldn't they?
No. The handcuffs fit fine. They actually expand quite a bit. What they may have had to do was get another pair because usually guys that size, you require a couple of sometimes three sets linked to each other because they can't bring their arms that far back. But standard size will fit probably.
All right, so let's say standard size fits all. Got it. But the bottom line is he's dead. So apparently they used excessive force.
Well, no. He is dead because he was told to him that he was under arrest. And put
all right, so you're blaming the victim then. He's the victim of, yes, he resisted arrest. We agree with that. But I still say that at that point, once he was on the ground and he couldn't breathe, don't you hear him begging for his life, saying, I can't breathe? What would you say at that point? Continue the pressure on him?
Dr. Savage, half the people I've arrested, actually probably more than half, have always complained, my leg hurts. I've heard I can't breathe so many times, I can't tell you. From 16-year-olds all the way up to, you know, people in their 50s.
All right, so he deserved to die, in other words, because the police were just following orders.
Not absolutely not. That man should be alive today.
No, the police were following protocol and orders. They did exactly the right thing. So why don't we give them all a commendation? Maybe they should get a Freedom Medal.
I'm just saying that.
No, give him a gold medal for performing a wonderful job of killing Eric Garner because he was such a threat to society. Look, I know guys like you keep us safe from the wolves. I get it. I've called you wolfhounds for years. Nobody respects police more than I do, but when something goes wrong like this and it's in front of a grand jury, I have to blame the grand jury more than I do the cops. Because as I've said before, the job of a grand jury is not to assess whether the guy is innocent or guilty, not to decide whether he's right or wrong. The grand jury has only one job, and that is to find out, in their opinion, to determine, rather, if there is enough evidence to charge that defendant in that case. And I believe there was enough evidence of excessive force. You would argue there wasn't, based on your police protocols. And I don't think you're alone in that assessment. I would think that most cops listening to the show would agree with you.
Dr. Savage, the I can't breathe thing, I hear it all the time.
But in this case, he was telling the truth.
Well, I'm not a doctor. My job is to protect my guys and myself from getting hurt. And in this case, they wanted to initiate an arrest.
All right, so then why don't we have the supervisor, the black lady sergeant who was standing in the doorway doing nothing, watching the whole incident? Why isn't she being called in front of a grand jury?
I don't know. There's no reason for her. There's nothing for her to do. The cops were making the arrest. They got him down. He started saying, I can't breathe, which every cop has heard a million times.
Okay, but in this case, the guy was telling the truth and he's dead. So maybe the cops have to be more sensitive to people who are physically or mentally slightly disabled.
How do I judge that? I have to enforce the law. My job is to enforce the law, and their job at that time was to initiate an arrest. That person refused to be arrested. They didn't hit him.
Mike, looking back, you've watched the videotape, right? The iPhone record. You've seen it, right?
Yes, sir.
If you were in that squad, and you were part of the takedown, and you saw the guy on the ground, and he no longer was posing a threat, you could see the man was down like an animal, a helpless animal. He wasn't threatening, he wasn't fighting, he wasn't punching, he wasn't biting, he wasn't spitting. You as a human being who has the intelligence to call a show, a national show, and do a very articulate job of presenting your side, would you have done anything differently?
Honestly, no. He was on the ground.
And how would you feel after the fact, knowing that he died from the takedown? How would you feel?
I would feel terrible. No cop goes to work and says, I'm going to take somebody's life today. That's ridiculous. There's obviously no intent there. There's absolutely no way there.
Right, but the grand jury was not determining whether there was intent. They were trying to determine whether grossly excessive force was used. On, by the way, a nonviolent, non-threatening individual who was crying and screaming for help because not only was he being taken down, but his chest was being compacted. I have another friend in police work who said, look, Mike, I really don't like to have to tell you this, but putting their knee against his back and crushing his lungs, compressing his lungs, could have killed him.
That's common procedure. Once a guy goes down, until he's cuffed, he's still a threat. You are a threat until you're handcuffed behind your back.
How could he have been a threat if there's five guys on him and he had no weapons? I don't understand that.
Dr. Savage, we don't know if he has a weapon on him still.
Now, wait a minute. Now I disagree with you wholeheartedly because he was known to that squad. That was his neighborhood. They know he was a gentle giant, a harmless guy, selling a few cigarettes to make a few extra bucks for himself and his wife and his six kids. They knew he was not a violent guy. He was not a member of a gang selling drugs. But you make a very good point. You've made very good points. I think you've upheld your brothers in blue's position better than anyone yet on this show. But I still disagree with you for one reason. He's dead. And I will send you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War as a gift to you for being such an articulate man with the guts to express yourself. Thanks for being with us. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Talking and arguing over the Garner case, and the shame here is that the demagogues like Holder and Obama and the others are going to use this case to drive a wedge into the heart of the American police, who are the absolute most constrained and best in the entire world. That's the real travesty here. It's the grand jury that made the mistake. But how could they have taken him down in another way? Why didn't they tase him? Tell me why the cops did not tase this man. Can anyone answer that question? And the second question is, when he was choking on the ground, saying, I can't breathe, even though he could breathe, because as the doctor explained, if he could say, I can't breathe, means he could breathe. Okay, but he was gagging. You can hear him drowning. Then he was dead. Why didn't they give him CPR after they knocked him out? I'm asking a simple question. There's another element of negligence. They stood around. The guy's dead on the ground. He's still posing a threat? No, I don't believe it. I'm sorry. Now he's on the ground. Now he's laying there. Now he's not posing any threat. And no one gave him CPR, including the supervisor in the doorway. Tell me why. Tell me why. Get back to me on that one.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The senior officer on the spot who was there at the location was an African-American female sergeant. So I don't know where the racial angle comes in. I have no doubt that if that was a 350-pound white guy, he would have been treated the same.
Yeah, well, that's Peter King, who normally I don't agree with. He's become such a mishmash. But he's trying to make the point that the police officer should not have been indicted. And I disagree with him. But he makes a point here that I do agree with, which is, if the senior officer there was standing in a doorway and she's an African-American female, why didn't she stop them once he could no longer function fundamentally as a living human being? It's because Eric Holder only wants to indict white people, white cops. It's that simple. So, you know, that's the, you know, don't they say the buck stops here? I guess it doesn't work in the Obama administration. It's always an underling responsible. But I have tried to make the point that this is really not about race. This is about a mistake that one or two police made with excessive force. That's my position. It will remain my position. It's been my position since July. And the more I have seen the video, the more I believe that I am correct. And I have lost a lot of sleep over this man's death. It's hard for me to sleep at night thinking about him screaming for his life, begging for his life with no one stopping him, no one stepping in to stop them. I don't know why they didn't release the tension once he was subdued. I don't get it. He was cuffed in on the ground. What were they continuing to do this for? I'm asking you. Line number four, Johnny, on KSFO in San Francisco, where the Savage Nation reigns. What's on your mind, Johnny?
Dr. Savage, I want you and the rest of the Savage Nation to be aware that there is also a 9.5-minute video of a woman recording the front side of Mr. Gardner. And, of course, he's still handcuffed. She's asking the officers why they are not performing CPR. And the officers and the EMS say he's still breathing, that they do not need to perform CPR.
Where is this video obtainable?
Well, I was on YouTube last night watching this video, and it was just the video right next to this one that I was watching. And I turned it on, and I could not believe it. It was unbelievable.
I got to get a copy of that, Johnny. You know, Clint, you're doing call screening. Can you stay on the line and send this video to Clint, the call screener, today on the Savage Nation? He'll send it to me, and I'll put it up on my site, michaelsavage.com, next to the other video. I want the people to judge for themselves.
I'd be more than happy, Dr. Savage.
Okay, now repeat what you just said, though. It went over most people's heads. Tell us all over again what you just called the show to say.
So there is a 9.5-minute video of a woman that is recording the front side of Gardner while he's still on the ground waiting for EMS. She asks the officers why nobody is performing CPR, and the officer says there's no reason to perform CPR, that he is still breathing, when clearly he's not breathing.
And now, wait, this is after he's subdued and on the ground and handcuffed and not moving?
Absolutely. That video is about a 5.5-minute one, and that's from a male, and this one is a 9.5-minute one from a female.
Well, I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it, but I wonder, was this introduced as evidence to the grand jury?
I have no idea, but I really want you to watch this, Dr. Savage.
Now, Johnny, before you leave us on the show today, would you identify yourself as a Democrat or a, forget that, would you say you're more to the conservative side or the liberal side?
I'm going to be honest. I want to say I'm more of an independent.
That's an interesting answer. I'm glad you said it, because I didn't put words in your mouth. So you would identify as an individual who calls him like he sees him, as I try to do?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just want people to know you're not calling this show with a bias, and you don't work for any of the jackals out there in the civil rights racket.
Absolutely not. I'm an average Joe.
Well, you're not so average if you can watch things like this and be affected to them by them to the extent that you'd call a national show like mine and offer evidence I had not seen. So, Johnny, please stay on the line. Clint will get your email address or whatever, give you his, da-da-da-da. And I'm sending you Stop the Coming Civil War as my thanks to you for calling the show about this. I want to look at that one. Now let's move on to line five in Washington, D.C. on this issue of the chokehold death, so-called. WMAL in Washington, Ryan. We are thriving on WMAL. The show is booming there. What's on your mind?
I had a really hard point that I just hadn't heard anybody talking about the last couple days, and I really wanted to push it, talk with you about it, because I knew you'd understand. And that police officer that was talking before the break, it was really rough for me to listen to that. But them being scared for them, their lives, when he's saying that he's choking 10-plus times and he can't breathe.
But wait, the officer who called said that every perp says that once they're constrained. And you have to give them credit for telling the truth. They probably all do say, my leg hurts, I can't breathe. That's a standard so they can bring charges against police. That's a game they all play.
Exactly. And
But wait, no. In other words, every criminal knows the racket. They know how to get around the law and how to hurt police and how to lie about the excessive force issue. But they knew Garner. This crew knew Garner. It was not strange cops in a strange neighborhood. This was their beat. They knew him. They knew the guy was an innocent kind of just a cigarette salesman. He wasn't a violent drug peddler. He wasn't a member of the drug gangs in the city.
And that's the point that doesn't make any sense of why this would happen. But they knew him, and they knew this. He did disobey them in the beginning. I'm not taking that away from the officer. So when they get to the point where he's saying he can't breathe, and we can all, anybody with a brain can hear that he's dying and struggling, and not let him go and put yourself in risk and everybody just get up. That's not what anybody's saying.
They walked away from him as he lay dying. And, you know, I want to put it in another context for listeners who are ambivalent on this story, and I'm sure many listeners are quite ambivalent. What if you have a son, 17 years old, who starts to use marijuana or drugs, and he gets in with a crowd that is using drugs, and someone gives him LSD, and he goes out in the street, and he's lost control of his mind. He doesn't even know who he is. He has no guns, no weapons, and the cops are called because he doesn't know what he's doing, knocking over garbage cans or whatever, and they tell him, get on the ground. He doesn't even know what they're saying to him. Now, they get into a fight with this kid, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He has pure animal energy, pure animal reactions. He starts fighting with the cops, and they do the same thing to your son, and he dies. Tell me what you would think about it then. Is that a reasonable analogy?
It's very reasonable, and I agree with it completely. And that's what just doesn't make sense, is why the officer around his neck couldn't let some air into his lungs, let him release his anaconda squeeze around the man's neck, let him take a breath, say, hey, sir.
See, that was what I observed, was the anaconda arms on that cop. Very admirable, I'm sure. But he had him down already. He was already cuffed. He was already unmoving. It was like watching an animal die. You see, I don't watch nature shows for that reason. I don't like lions hunting antelopes. I don't like to watch the Chinese doing the putting bears in cages and taking the bile out of their bodies. I don't like watching the vermin in Africa hunting elephants. I've given money to have people hunt down and kill the poachers. I'd rather see a poacher dead than an elephant. So I have sympathy for animals. I have more sympathy for humans. It's that simple.
Yep. And so when the officer heard him saying he couldn't breathe, he could have said, released a little bit and said, sir, are you going to listen to us and follow orders now? Gardner could have responded to that, and they could have moved on with the arrest and, you know, arrested him and let him go the next day or whatever and had his done little fines rather than...
You're right. I think we've covered that. So let's go to my secondary but most important question is, why were there no riots in New York and elsewhere last night?
I don't know.
Well, there were riots in Ferguson. Apparently, they were organized somewhere. They had 3 or 4 months. In fact, the day after the election, we read a story that the leader of the mobs in the streets met with the president himself, and the president said to him, stay the course. So, obviously, the Ferguson riots were given a go by somebody working very close to the chief there. And apparently the very same crowds of so-called anarchists, who are nothing but bloodthirsty communist murderers, were told to stand down last night by the very same people who set Ferguson on fire. That's the bigger story that no one's covering here.
Yeah, and I've heard you mention that a couple times, and the thing that gets me about that is the Eric Garner incident happened before the Ferguson incident, so I don't understand how they chose to pick that one.
Yeah, I said it yesterday. Why did they not release this a month before Ferguson?
Exactly. It doesn't make
sense. It seems something is wrong with the picture. And it looks to me like it's being orchestrated from the top. And it looks to me like they're trying to nationalize the police, which is right out of Nazi Germany. Because if we let them nationalize the police, we're going to be no better than Argentina under this gang. That's what frightens me. Especially when a street rat like Al Sharpton is saying that we're getting the federal government in and they're going to take care of the police. There's no other answer to that. What, is he going to now be the chief of police in America, that rat?
I agree. Let me tell you one more theory of a friend of mine. His theory, and I think it smells just like you do, and I smell something, and he told me 3 years ago, we were having an intense conversation just like you and I are now, and he told me, he's like, Obama is going to find a way to stay in the office. And by the end of his second term, he knew the exact word, but if there's such chaos going on, like a war or something going on, there's this word that he can enact where he can actually stay in office till the commotion has died down. And 3 or 4 years ago, my friend told me that that was going to happen. And now as we're getting close towards the end of his second term, I'm hearing all of this. And he's saying, you watch, all this chaos is going to start all over the country.
Gee, I wonder if the man wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. You think he had anything to do with that book?
I don't know.
Well, I'm sending you a copy because you're going to find similar thoughts in that book, which has taken the nation by storm, 5 weeks on the New York Times list, and we fear the worst from this gang. Certainly, we do not see the best. Stay on the line, Ryan. It is now 17, almost 18 minutes after the hour. Oh, I got to take this call from Carl. Can I take it now? Do I have time for Carl? Oh, I got to take Carl. Carl on the web. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind, Carl?
Hi, Michael, how you doing? Hey, I've answered to that other fella. All Obama has to do is pardon himself. but the reason I'm calling is this.
Wait, can Obama pardon himself in advance? Can Obama sign an executive order in advance of being indicted for conspiracy to bring America to its knees or whatever the charge may be in an impeachment action? Can he pardon himself in advance through an executive order?
Look, liberalism is a mental disease. It's impossible.
I know, but you're disagreeing with me on this on this situation, Carl, aren't you? Tell me what you think.
But I just think there has to be more attention paid to the fact that this fellow, Eric Garner, you know, you want to have the police exercise professional discretion. This fellow was arrested 30 times from now to 1980. 30 different times, charges ranging from grand larceny, assault, and resisting arrest. If those officers knew him or knew of him and he lived there for 30 years or some God knows how long, 30 different arrests, there's probably a predisposition that they were aware of what he was capable of. And I haven't heard anybody discussing that.
All right, so you're saying he was a danger to the cops. They had a right to be rough handle him.
What I've seen and I've read, you know.
All right, but Carl, all that is well and good. But once he was subdued, could they not have released the tension on his neck and taken their knee off his back, which was compressing his lungs?
Yeah, they probably could have.
All right, so they went overboard. I'm sorry, they made a mistake. Surgeons who are absolutely the best in the world sometimes slip with the scalpel. Do we say, well, okay, he didn't mean it. He went a little too far with the cut. Talk show hosts who say one word that goes over the line, they're out of business the next day. Do you know that?
Yes.
I mean, I live and die by one word. I mean, it's hard for people to believe. If a restaurant serves a meal that has toxins in it, a fine restaurant, well, they're only one meal away from going out of business. Anyone who's succeeding in this country understands the rules of the road. And unfortunately, cops have perhaps the toughest jobs of us all. I'll be right back, and thank you very much for calling.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This is not about race. This is about excessive force, if you will, an accident. If a surgeon slips with a scalpel, he could say that he made a mistake, he didn't mean it, but the patient dies, he's liable. If a talk show host slips with a tongue, he could say, I didn't mean it. Doesn't matter, he loses his on-air performance. If, shall I go down the list? I mean, there are mistakes made in all professions. In this case, it was a mistake. There was no vicious intent, as Eric Holder would have you believe, nor that street rat would have you believe. We all know that. There was no vicious intent. There was a black woman police sergeant, of course, standing in a doorway doing nothing. If anyone should be indicted, it's her. I mean, that's what they do in the Marine Corps. They did it to one of the captains that I defended. He was about 100 miles away in a command center, and he was held responsible for an act that was performed by his Marines, as I say, 100 miles away. So why is she being given a walk? Answer, because the racists behind this persecution of the NYPD and other police departments, the racists behind it, will never, ever indict an officer unless they're white. You know that they're making it a case of race. That's the sick part here. Rich on WABC, fire away. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Savage, I'll tell you, I've never been more energized and engaging since you replaced Hannity on ABC, but that's not what I called about. I just wanted to tell you that, first, I do believe that this has been a horrible mistake. I think that the policemen with this guy's last dying breath, he was lying to them. And, you know, I'm not saying that there's any excuse for them not to give him CPR, but I could understand that after 30 arrests, you know, they're just tired of being treated like asses, you know?
Yeah, all right, you make a very good point. Meanwhile, he's dead. That's the problem. So somebody made a mistake. That's the problem.
Horrible mistake. That's what.
Yes, a horrible mistake, and the guy's dead. So that's why we're even talking about it. Had he not died, there would be no case. But prima facie evidence indicates that since he did die, there was a mistake. And I'm sorry, but when you have an accident and there's a mistake, there are penalties for the mistake. That's all I'm saying. I make them, I pay for it. You make them, you pay for it. It doesn't matter whether we love and respect our policemen and soldiers. If they make a mistake, I'm sorry, there are consequences, as there should be for the President of the United States, who seems to be above the law and is Praetorian Guard. And who will watch the watchers?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Where is your humanity? Where is your humanity? Cops normally save people's lives. They give a CPR to someone who's got a heart attack. I've seen them do it. I've seen them do it. They jump in a lake to save a kid who goes under the ice. They hear a man literally drowning. I mean, it's a drowning man dying in front of your ears. And what, none of them heard this? They were about, what, 2 inches from his mouth when he's saying, I can't breathe? Where were they? On the moon, having a donut? Where were they? They were 2 inches from the man's mouth saying, I can't breathe. At that point, you let go. He had no gun. He didn't lift his big fist at them. Did he? Now, this is not about race. I want to repeat that. Don't let the hustlers like Sharpton and Obama tell you that it's about brown and black versus whites. That's the worst thing you can be thinking. Don't let the hustlers like de Blasio and Holder lead you to believe that this is about race. It's nothing to do with race, because there's a black cop standing right next to him as the guy's dying, and he did nothing either. So it's not about race. It's about bad policing. They weren't taking down a crack dealer. Were they taking down a kingpin? By taking down someone from the Crips and Bloods? No, they weren't. Poor schmuck selling a cigarette. What the hell is wrong with you? Do you think that you have to support any group? How many times have I told you that you have to go through it again in Aristotelian logic? How many times I said to you, is a politician just like other men? Yes. Are all men good? No. Are all men evil? No. All men are all men. They can be good, they can be evil, they can be ordinary. Yes. So therefore, any politician can be any of the above. Yes. Is a president just a politician? Yes. So therefore, a president can be good, he can be evil, he can be smart, he can be stupid. Yes. So I can use the same logic with anyone. Talk show hosts, myself included, cops. Why should they be above the law? That's what I'm asking you. And why should they be above our judgment? If a surgeon, a good surgeon, makes one mistake and cuts the wrong vessel, the wrong artery, the wrong vein, after a lifetime of doing it right, what happens to that surgeon? He may never practice surgery again. He could be held up on charges. Look what they did to Joan Rivers. Their careers are ruined, aren't they? Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, what we saw in the Garner case is not unprecedented in the world, but it's almost never heard of in the United States of America. And if we fall into the trap of believing that authority is always right, whether the authority is Eric Holder, Barack Obama, or the cop on the corner, we're in trouble. We are not a totalitarian society. And I support police for the last 20 years, 99.9% of the time. I've supported police through thick and through thin. But police are just human beings who put on a uniform. And as such, there can be good cops, average cops, bad cops, good cops, ordinary cops, and evil cops. This cop was not evil. I don't know him. But he made a mistake. And the mistake goes so far up the chain of command that this heartbreaking mistake by this cop gives the jackals and the Obama troika further justification for their crimes against humanity and their crimes against the police. And as I discuss the Eric Garner case and the choking case, the chokehold case, I want you to remember one thing. I want you to eliminate race. You see, the race hustlers like de Blasio, Sharpton, Holder, and Obama are making it about race. But it really has nothing to do with race. And your natural instincts are to side with those of your own kind. That's just human nature. It's the way it is. Doesn't matter who you are. And so if you're black, you tend to side with people who are black no matter what they're doing. And if you're white, you tend to side with people who are white no matter what they're doing. And I feel that that's the problem here. The biggest problem here are knee-jerk conservatives, not knee-jerk liberals. We have plenty of those and we know who they are. You can predict what they're going to say. But how knee-jerk conservatives can have such biases against the truth on the Garner story is beyond me. You know, there's a saying in my tradition, he who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. Well, you can reverse that and say, he who takes a single life, it is as though he has killed the entire world. And this insane decision by the grand jury in Staten Island yesterday, in light of what happened in Ferguson 2 weeks ago, is the worst thing that could have happened to this country in light of the evil troika that wants to nationalize the police force in this country. Yesterday I went on the air. If you missed it, and many of you did, most of you didn't catch the show, but those who did had one of the most electrifying experiences of their life. I would say that of the 20 years of radio that I've had, it was the most difficult show I've ever done and probably the most satisfying. And we had many police call or disagreed with me. We had martial artists call. This is the most interesting part of yesterday's show. And we had a martial artist from Knoxville, Tennessee. Man, Dias self-described himself as 6'4", 220 pounds. He said he trains officers of the law, special forces, in martial arts, in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And he said that hold put on that man's neck is something that he never teaches in martial arts. He said it's something that this cop learned by watching television. And he said, I'm surprised that cop didn't break his neck. Now, if you analyze what actually happened and the crime that had been committed, you'll have to conclude, as I did, that this was a case not only of excessive force, beyond any reasonable doubt this was excessive force. By any analysis, this was excessive force. But the fact of the matter is we should have put a criminal charge against this cop, whether it's reckless manslaughter owing to the excessive use of deadly force on a person who was not threatening the police, by the way. Let me be very clear. Unlike the Ferguson case, where the man who was shot by Wilson had had an altercation with the cop, tried to grab his gun, was charging the cop. You know where I stood on that one. Tell me what this man, this bear of a man, this innocent Eric Garner, a big deal. He was selling a cigarette in New York City. And for that, he died. They should have given him a summons and said, okay, come on, Eric. You know you can't do this. And give him a summons and move on. It's like jaywalking. But instead, they escalated it. And it gets worse. You see, many of you have an opinion, but you haven't actually watched the videotape. If you watch the videotape and you don't have a heartbreaking experience, I don't think you're a full human being. If you have no compassion for Eric Garner as he's begging for his life, as he's on the ground after the jackals took him to the ground, it looked like jackals on an antelope. And I don't even like to watch nature shows. I don't like watching antelopes have their necks broken. They took down this big man for selling a cigarette. I know I'm going to take heat from people who are knee-jerk conservatives. I know you never heard the phrase from those in the media who are knee-jerk conservatives, but there are knee-jerk conservatives just as there are knee-jerk liberals. And you can't look at this from the point of view of liberal, conservative, black, and white, because you'll come up with a biased conclusion. I'm asking you, as human beings, we're not fanatic Islamists, are we? We're not members of ISIS, are we? Where life has no meaning. In this country, life still has value. So from the point of view of a nation where life has meaning and value, you know, I am taught in my tradition a phrase that was created in the 1300s or the 1100s, I don't know which, by a great rabbi named Maimonides. He was a philosopher and rabbi, and he wrote, "He who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world." Well, I've often reversed that for how the Islamists treat the world. To them, it's he who takes a single life, it is as though he has gained the world. They have everything backwards. But to me, he who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. They took the life away from this man. Don't you think that this was an unjustified homicide in that regard? Couldn't they have let him up when he was already on the ground? At that point, he was not only cuffed, he was near death, but they didn't let him up. At that point, they ground his face into the cement. How do you feel about this? You know, coming on the heels of Ferguson, this is the most insane decision I've ever seen in my life. Now you may say, look, the grand jury had no options here. They have to follow their own rules. Well, sometimes rules are an ass. As the great 18th century English essayist wrote, the law is an ass. Sometimes you have to follow the laws of humanity, not just the laws of how to take down a man who's resisting arrest. Maybe you ought to say, wait a minute, we got him down on the ground. He can't do anything now. Let him go. You know, here's the worst part of this story, from my point of view, one man's opinion. We know what Holder and the Troika, Obama, Holder, and Sharpton are. We know what this Troika is. They're Stalinist. They have one goal in mind, to incite riots, to put race against race, to stranglehold the police, nationalize the police. This is the worst possible thing that could have happened for the America that I live in and for the police of this country who do such a difficult job. This is the worst possible decision by a grand jury. They should have indicted him, and they should have let a jury decide whether or not he committed a crime in using a chokehold. It's that simple. It's that simple. Why did they not indict him? Tell me why. You know, I can give you the reasons that I think they didn't indict him, but this is awful. It's just awful, and it is a heartbreaking story, and it will make you sick if you actually watch it. If you watch it and you don't get sick from watching it, then you have no heart. If you watch it and you do get sick from watching it, then you do have a heart. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. We're all talking about the fact that the grand jury said it was not a crime to kill a man for selling a cigarette. What kind of country are you living in? What kind of world do you want to live in? This was a nothing crime. It wasn't even a crime. It was a misdemeanor. They should have given him a summons and told him to move on. It's the equivalent of jaywalking. And the cops killed him. I don't care what anyone says to me. 99.9% of the time, I support police. Excuse me. No one on earth is right 100% of the time, me nor anyone else. So how can you say all cops are always right? If all cops are not always right, isn't it possible that some cops are possibly wrong occasionally? Well, this cop was not only wrong, he's a murderer. Why do I say that? Garner was selling cigarettes to homeless people on the street. That's some crime, huh? So a pack of hyenas jumped on him, and the officer used grossly excessive force on a nonviolent, non-threatening individual. Did you hear him screaming for his air, saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe? It makes a strong man weep to hear a man die next to him, unless he's a member of Al-Qaeda. Maybe you get off on that. I don't. He said, I can't breathe. And guess what the cops did? Did they release their grip on his neck? Did they stop pressuring his chest on the ground? Oh, no. They pressed his face into the cement. Sorry, my friends. This is manslaughter. I don't want to live in a society where anybody at any time can be assaulted by police for any possible crime. You don't return library books. They come to your door and you say, I disagree with you. And they say to you, get on the ground. And you say, are you crazy? And what, five of them jump on you and choke you to death? And what, you're going to hold them up for a medal? Are you people nuts? Is this the Soviet Union? Is this Eastern Europe where the Stasi could break your door down in the middle of the night and say you're under arrest for a political crime? And if you say to them, I didn't commit a crime, and they say, get on the ground, and you refuse to get on the ground, and what, they can then try to cuff you and possibly choke you to death, and then what, hold them up for an award? Are you people nuts? How could you support this? That's the number one story. And the worst part of it is, it now gives the vermin like Al Sharpton justification for their crimes against humanity and crimes against America, in my opinion. It now gives monsters like Barack Obama and Eric Holder justification for attacking the police. Don't you understand this? It's crazy. Not only that, but we had a caller, James, from Knoxville, Tennessee, who says he's 6'4" himself and over 200 pounds, and he trains police, special forces, FBI, and the use of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And he said, we never, ever, ever use that type of neck hold. He said, I'm surprised that cop didn't break Garner's neck with that hold. Did you hear me? Do you understand? Why are you listening to fat guys in the radio tell you that it was fine? Fat guys have never been in a fist fight in their life. Oh, it's fine. The cops are great. Wrong. Well, that's the number one story. And if you really want to hear how I feel about it, if that wasn't enough, go to michaelsavage.com and listen to the download. It's free. I'm not selling you anything on my position. The only problem here is that Sharpton should be put into some kind of holding tank. That's what we really need, is putting him in a holding tank. This is not free speech. Yelling fire in a crowded movie theater is a violation of the First Amendment. Yelling racism in a nation ready to explode is the equivalent of yelling fire in a movie theater. Al Sharpton is an incendiary, violent individual who should be stopped by the government. But the reason he isn't is that he is the government. He's running America. He's Obama in a dirty suit. Why don't you listen to clip 18 of Sharpton defending his dual roles as a TV host and an activist?
Let me say I'm a minister, but I don't stay inside the pulpit. I'm a TV host. I don't stay in the studio. I go out there and talk to the people. It's easy for people to sit up in comfortable studios or in big cathedrals and lecture people. It's different when you're on the ground. I'm on the ground. And that's why I can tell people, let's do this the right way.
No one on earth could get away with this. Nobody on earth but him. Why? Why does he get away with it? I'll let you figure it out. You know, Rand Paul agrees with me. He said there's no excuse for someone to die over a cigarette tax.
Some politician put a tax of $5.85 on a pack of cigarettes, so they've driven cigarettes underground by making them so expensive. But then some politician also had to direct the police to say, hey, we want you arresting people for selling a loose cigarette. And for someone to die over, you know, breaking that law, there really is no excuse for it.
Good for you, Rand Paul. I have new faith in you. And he's a libertarian. I guess that makes me something else, huh? Judge Napolitano on Fox, he's right. He said this is clearly a case for a criminally negligent homicide charge. Choking to death a mentally impaired, grossly obese person whose only crime was selling cigarettes without collecting taxes on them.
I think it is clearly a case for criminally negligent homicide. I think that the use of deadly force on an... This is not Ferguson, Missouri. This is not somebody wrestling for your gun. This is not where you shoot or be shot at. This is choking to death a mentally impaired, grossly obese person whose only crime was selling cigarettes without collecting taxes on them.
I think that should be the last word, other than this. Unless men like Sharpton are stopped from inciting violence across America, Stop the Coming Civil War will have to be re-released as Start the Coming Civil War by Al Sharpton. But I'm not Al Sharpton. I'm Michael Savage, and God bless America. Thanks for listening.
Savage.